We'll talk a little bit about my role with basketball, and then we'll do like a case study of track and field, which will be kind of about taking a program at a university that when I got there, and then the person who was in charge of it, the head coach, you know, they were bottom of the Southeastern Conference, was not considered a destination for top athletes, top students to go to. Nobody would think about it. And within 5 years, you know, they end up landing, I would say, the most marketable woman in sports, like upcoming, 17 years old, already been to the Olympic Games, great kid, and basically why she chose the Kentucky without even having to be like proactively recruited that much initially. But I think we'll start out a little bit talking about my role with men's basketball, because that's sort of a premise for what I started doing with track and field. And then the role has also afforded me like traveling all over the world. So that's me at the World U20 Championships in track and field 2 years ago in Poland, where USA Track and Field contracted me out to be their press officer based on some social media prowess and understanding of the sport. And then that's me at the 2015 Final Four. Followers are not necessarily the most important thing in terms of social media, but that's just kind of where the Twitter following was when I started, and then where it is today. The way that I got into working with the basketball team social media was I just kind of stepped in, and basically in 2014 they make the national championship, and there's an article about the teams that have the best social media prowess at the Final Four, and they basically call out Kentucky basketball for, you know, having this huge following, having this passionate fan base, but not interacting very much. So in 2015 they come back, they're the preseason number one team, and I just kind of, having worked with Olympic sports there and sort of like lower profile things, trying to build them up through social, I saw there was a need there and I kind of just stepped in and started doing it. And quickly everyone in the administration was like, this is something we need to be doing. We need to give Jake more access. We need to take him on trips and he'll take care of it. But they're sort of called out for like, you know, they even have this content on their website and they're just not pushing it out on social. So even though they have this fan base, it's not being engaged. So quickly being with a team that wins its first 38 games, gets to the Final Four, and then loses. So it's Halloween week, so I'm having a bit of a nightmare, but just kidding, because I keep everything at arm's length and stay professional, except for when you win the first 38 games and then lose in the Final Four, because you're like, we're going to win. All these sleepless nights are going to be worth it. Okay, anyway. Different website, different news source, but then they kind of take notice at the 2015 Final Four, where it's kind of like 12 months down the line, just a little bit more engagement, a little bit more buy-in from the coaching staff, from the administration to put resources into social media. And, you know, publicly they're like, they're actually engaging. And they're, you know, they're giving the fan base what it wants. And then it's gotten to the point now where we have coaching staff coming to us all the time and being like, what are we doing on social to get recruits to want to come here? So even for a program that was, you know, that is getting it, they've had the number one recruiting class in the country 5 years in a row. You know, just 3 years ago, they weren't paying attention to social, and now people that I work with are like stressed out because the coaches are coming to them and they're like, this is crazy. But it's probably better that way than not having a coaching staff buy-in, not having administration paying attention to the importance of social. So that's 2015, my first year with basketball, and that's kind of where we'll start and move to track in the case study, which is you get to the 2015 season, and that is 2 years into my time at Kentucky. And like I said, before I got there, bottom of the SEC, nobody paying attention. Within 2 years, it's pretty mediocre, it's better than mediocre, but it's pretty good, but not making like world-class, top of the NCAA inroads. It's kind of like a program where they're not getting the best recruits, and then they're developing them into being competitive. But we kind of try and take, so this was just a study that I had done before the 2015 season where I was looking at what mediums I wanted. So it was still, the website was number one, but you see social coming up, and I think when I do it next, which will be in a few months, probably be Instagram number one over Twitter and Facebook. Just for that college age audience, they're in Instagram probably more than anything. So going to that track case study. So like I said, we went from not really having any top-notch student athletes to having a few, but not necessarily a world-class team. So it came to a question of, well, how do we capitalize on this? How do we tell the story of the fact that athletes are coming here, not necessarily that like highly renowned coming in, and then by the time they leave here, they're world class. So this is Kendra Harrison. She is currently the world record holder in the 100 meter hurdles. So in last summer, she ran 12.20 seconds in the 100 meter hurdles, which broke a world record that was like 25 years old. So that was a huge deal. And she was like marginally famous at that point within the track community. And then she became viral by breaking that world record because 2 weeks prior, she, for lack of a better term, choked at the Olympic trials. So she was the favorite going into the Olympic trials, then didn't make the Olympic team, even though she was by far the fastest person in the field. So then she comes back 2 weeks later, and to sort of prove herself, she breaks the world record. But the premise for that, where we're here, is a year before. It's her senior year. She wins the NCAA championship in the 60-meter hurdles indoors, an NCAA championship in the 100-meter hurdles outdoors. And then she's also extremely proficient in the 400-meter hurdles, which is sort of unheard of to be good at those two distances because they're technically very different and require different cardiovascular strength and things like that. So the premise was, how are we going to, first of all, shine the light on Kendra that she deserves because people aren't necessarily paying attention because it's track and field and Kentucky's a basketball school, if an athletic school at all. So obviously we have those shirts that say track school, which our head basketball coach, who's famous and has a Twitter following in the millions, was happy enough to wear himself, which was an important thing for us to push out on social, to sort of say, like, even Cal's buying in, our fan base should be buying in too. So then we also, you know, used her candidacy for something called the Bowerman Award, which is, for lack of a better analogy, like the Heisman Trophy of track and field, but obviously not even on the same level. But we sort of leveraged that to be something that we pushed out. So did a lot of graphic, a lot of visual storytelling. And then we actually got, so that thing on the bottom left there is a USB thumb drive. But we got a company to shape it like a hurdle, which is obviously a little fun thing. And then we sort of, instead of just like sending it to voters, we made it into a social media engagement thing. Which I think, you know, the target audience initially is just like people who are voting for that award, but it was more important to us to just kind of do something outside the box to get people to be like, this is really cool, I want one of those, like, it's a thumb drive that's a 3D hurdle, like, so we did fan giveaway and like tried to have people send us screenshots to get engagement and get people interacting, to try and get that, you know, spread that you can have on social. So that's the 2015 season, and they finished out of nowhere. Like I said, they had been kind of wallowing in, you know, mid-level of the SEC, and then they finished second at the NCAA championship with three people winning NCAA championships on the last day. So it's really, and it's on ESPN for the first ever time. So people in the Lexington community, at least, are really like taking notice of the University of Kentucky at a time in June where, you know, the collegiate season is over. Students aren't on campus, and then like sort of unexpectedly, we have all this engagement of people paying attention to our program at a time in the year where people aren't really paying that close attention to higher education, at least in terms of our community, our fan base. So we made sure to kind of get everyone, like the university main account is talking about us. Like I said, our basketball coach, who I have a relationship with, he's talking about us, and that's pushing our story where we're in the thousands of followers with track and field, which makes us like the third most followed track and field account in the sport, which is sort of punching above our own weight, which I would credit to, you know, having outside the box and consistent content. But the only programs that have a bigger following than us are Florida, who have like 10 national championships, and then Oregon, which has the backing of the marketing power of Nike to sort of make them a transcendent sort of brand in the sport. And when people think of the University of Oregon, they're kind of thinking of Steve Prefontaine and running, which is not at all the case at Kentucky. So yeah, we're kind of like, you know, taking this success of finishing second at the NCAA championship, having world-class athletes that are doing things that are viral and cutting through to make the Today Show and not just be inside of your sport or inside of your niche audience and just sort of leveraging that. And a thing that we did at the time in 2015 that kind of, you know, became something that we were hammering home on and that has really paid dividends and has become the identity of our program is something called Flo Knows. So the guy there is the head coach of the track team, Edric Floreal, sort of a legend in the sport in his own right in terms of being like a five-time national champion at the University of Arkansas, being an Olympian. Oh, yeah. We have an Arkansas alumni here. Just inducted into the Southwest Conference Hall of Fame this week. Random, the only reason I'm thinking of that is I wrote a press release about it. So, you know, telling the visual story of this guy is he will take you to reach your dreams. You know, you don't even have to be the most talented person in the world. You come to the University of Kentucky, you train with him, you go into our support system, and you come out world class. So this is just kind of like an infographic, which I'm sure you've seen plenty of times, but it's kind of telling the story of, in just 3 years, look at all of this that's been accomplished at a place that nobody thought this sort of thing could happen. And like hammering it home and using the hashtag FloKnows all the time. And so this is 2015. This is something that I put out about a month ago when we had a bunch of big recruits on campus, just to kind of update the numbers. If you look at this, it's like two national championships in 15. By 2017, we have eight national championships. We had 34 three academic All-Americans in 2015, and it's up to six now, and then the actual number of All-Americans is like 70 in 2015, and it's over 100 just 3 years later. So it's just kind of, you know, having that way that you're breaking through and doing visual storytelling, and then, you know, staying consistent with it, but updating it, and you're just kind of perpetuating that story of how effective you are as a place where it's that typical higher education thing where, you know, people want to go to a university to learn something and come out the end a better way. Well, that is completely actualized and easy to see in track and field, maybe even more than, you know, in a professional track where you're not necessarily getting where you want to be until 5, 10 years, 15 years down the road. So we'll go back and just say, so we had that Flo Knows in 2015, and it really catches on by that summer. The next year is an Olympic year. You end up having similar success where Kendra Harrison didn't win NCAA championships till her senior year. And then he gets another unheralded hurdler recruit. Although looking back on it, her brother is like the best defensive lineman in the NFL, plays for the LA Rams. Jasmine Camacho Quinn, who you can see on this top left picture, which is a tweet. And then on the right, that's Jasmine Camacho Quinn. So 2016, as a freshman, she wins the NCAA championship in the same event that Kendra had won it the year before. So it's kind of proof in the pudding, like they've been saying, Flo Knows, and now he takes this freshman, and just in her first year, she becomes the first freshman to ever win the NCAA championship in this event. So we're making sure we're saying Flo Knows when we put that out, and it, you know, it takes off the way things that are good on social do. Later that summer, Harrison is kind of a breakthrough event where, like I said, she breaks the world record. And it becomes a big story because it was like everybody thought she was going to be the big story at the Olympics, then she doesn't make it. And then 2 weeks later, she out of nowhere breaks the world record. And that's something that ends up being on like the morning show. So it's not just in track publications, it's everywhere. And we made sure to, you know, get this GIF, or GIF, if you would prefer. And you see, it's got 108 retweets, but we're also giving it to her to put out, and it's a much bigger on her account than just on the Kentucky track account. So there was a moment, this is in London at the Olympic Stadium from 2012, and she went off the track to hug him, and, you know, we made that into a GIF, and that sort of went viral and ends up being on the morning shows, like I said, and it's with the Flo Knows tagline, so, you know, potential recruits are seeing this and being like, look at the relationship that this coach has with his world-class athlete. Like, it's her accomplishment, but she went and shared it with him. And I think if you're a potential recruit, you're looking at that and being like, that's the type of person that I want to work with. That's the type of place that I want to be, where, you know, the support system that's in Lexington, Kentucky is following you to London, England. even when you're not going there anymore. Like, it's a lifelong thing. And I think that, like, plenty of universities have that, right? But how are you going to visually tell that story and make it cut through in social? So then you get to this past summer, and you have more world-class hurdlers who had relationships with him in some point. So that's Omar McLeod on the bottom left. He's the reigning Olympic and world champion in the 110-meter hurdles. And he comes to train with Flo this year. And I don't think anybody pays any attention to him. I mean, obviously he has these world-class hurdlers, but I think without the Flo Knows social backing behind that, I don't think that he ends up wanting to go work with him. And then that's Corey Carter, who had, he was at Stanford as the head coach before he was at Kentucky. Then he came to Kentucky. She finished her degree and then decided, this is the coach I need to be with. I'm from LA. I go to Stanford. I'm going to drop everything and move to Lexington, Kentucky, because this is the environment that I want to be in to achieve my goals in the sport of track and field. And she ends up having an upset win in London this past summer in the World Championships to win the 400-meter hurdles, and that becomes a big thing. And whenever she gets interviewed, she's saying, Flo knows, I wouldn't have done this if not for the University of Kentucky track program, if not for that coach. So without us even putting it out ourselves, she's doing an interview with the IAAF, which is basically the FIFA of track and field, not quite as in trouble with the US Justice Department, but similarly unsavory. But they have a big following, and they're putting out this interview with her where she's saying, you know, the University of Kentucky is the reason. So it becomes sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy that, you know, we had been consistently hammering home on Flo knows this is the place where, like I said before, you don't even have to be the most talented person in the world, and you're going to end up being exponentially better by the time you graduate. So if you're really talented, it's all the more a better place for you to be. And look at all these examples we have of world champions and NCAA champions. And what ends up happening is you get Sydney McLaughlin. So has anybody in here heard of Sydney? No? Okay. So I said this a little bit before. She is a junior in high school in 2016 at the US Olympic Trials. And she makes the Olympic team. So this is like, I'm not here saying that like track and field is this like cut through huge sports. But in Olympic years, it is one of the marquee events, right? So she becomes the first teenager and the youngest person to make the US Olympic team in like 40 years. Which is all the more impressive when you consider the strength of the United States in track and field, like the amount of medals that the US gets in relation in track and field in the relation to other countries is exponential. So she becomes a cut-through star, and I think you can probably see part of the reason why. And we don't even recruit her. Like, I'm working in my social media capacity at the 16 Olympic trials, and one of the marketing guys in our department who doesn't work on a day-to-day basis with our track program texts me being like, well, surely, like, we're recruiting her, right? I mean, we're the best 400-meter hurdles coach, which is everything that we've been saying. And I was like, honestly, I have no idea. Well, fast forward a few months down the road to November of 2016, when track athletes are taking official visits to Kentucky, and I see her itinerary, and I'm going to meet with her and tell her all the stuff that we do for social and for branding and, you know, to make the University of Kentucky academic and athletic experience not just about, you know, being really fast, but also about branding yourself and doing all the things that set you up to succeed past, whether it be professionally or, in her case, as a professional, super marketable athlete. But what I come to find out is that our coaches didn't even contact her directly, which is generally, in athletics recruiting, like, you know, you reach out to the people that you want to recruit to set up an initial contact. Her father actually, after she had made the Olympics, because she'd been courted by every single top school in the country, because it's unheard of for somebody to make the US Olympic team while they're a junior in high school. Her father reached out to our coaching staff to be like, what do you have, like, you know, why is your program the right place for us? And I don't think that happens if not for the Flo Knows the, you know, showing in numbers and graphs and things like that how the University of Kentucky track and field program takes hurdlers from being okay to being world record holders. So I think that her dad was like, this is the place for her probably. And then you end up getting her on campus and showing her all the ways and you know, showing her why this program is gonna give you plenty of TLC. But I think it's really telling that, you know, we didn't even directly contact her. Our social media was what, you know, showed her family why the University of Kentucky would be the place for her. So obviously she comes on campus, she ends up signing with us. This is the most popular tweet that our program has ever put out because, like I said, she's, you know, she's a crossover star. Like, she's listed as, I guess in a couple weeks ago, she was one of Time Magazine's most influential teenagers in the world. So she's a crossover star and not just track and field. And she's someone that our university is, you know, wanting to show everyone, like, she chose Kentucky. It's not just a sports thing. And I think that that is, like, the actualization of, you know, 3 years of saying Flo knows, of showing all the ways that your program is the place to be. She ends up coming without even having to be, like, over-the-top recruited. But the one thing that I would say that in talking to her dad was that, you know, we're an athletics program, but we make sure to promote our academic successes however we want because, you know, if not with the students themselves, with the parents, you know, showing that we are a totally top-notch academic institution that's going to shine as much light on your academics as we are on your athletics is very important to us. So, I mean, this is just sort of like graphic storytelling of our academic successes. But it's kind of a way to, you know, be outside the box and make people see that you value this just as much as anything else. And then, it, you know, like I said, the Sydney McLaughlin thing is sort of the proof in the pudding, but then it sort of becomes a self-fulfilling thing where Bleacher Report came and did this story about how, you know, she's so marketable that she could have turned pro out of high school like someone, Allison Felix, did, and then, you know, trained but was making more than $1 million a year from Adidas. She, I would argue, and basically this article argues, had even more on the table from marketing companies and shoe companies. But she decided that, you know, we've seen enough teen stars, you know, kind of fizzle out, and that it would be really important for her to get that college experience, and that, you know, the contracts and stuff like that weren't going anywhere, but that, like, you know, having that experience of gaining the independence of being a college student, and at a place as, you know, nurturing as UK would be the right thing for her to do. And that's basically what this article is about. And there's, you know, plenty of requests for people to do similar articles. So, you know, it started on social, and then it ends up being in you know, traditional linear media as well. So, with that, I'll take any questions if you have any.
Does anybody have any questions? You got one?
Great stuff. I'm curious, how much interaction between your channels and other university channels do you have? Does the main Kentucky account selectively pick from athletics? I just wonder if there's any, you know, joint effort there, or if one amplifies the other, or if it's strictly the straight athletic play.
We have a really good relationship with our on-campus channels, and then our, you know, athletics generally, and then our other sports. So obviously, at UK, men's basketball is the big one. So it sort of helps that I'm on the team that runs the basketball account as well. But I think that some of the most fun stuff that we do on social is like sort of pithy banter with other schools. Because I think that, you know, we're all in it together and it's competitive, but I think that that kind of like razzing back and forth is fun and is some of our most like effective type stuff, if that makes sense.
Shows the university has a soul.
Yeah, totally, totally. And then in athletics, like one of the things that we look at is NBA teams, which are probably, I would argue, some of the more engaged like professional sports organizations. And they're doing that kind of stuff all the time. And that's some of the most enjoyable stuff, at least that I look at.
Anybody else? So the food coma has set in.